At some point in their lives, many artists spend time painting themselves, self-portraits that express who they are at a particular moment. Washington's National Portrait Gallery plans to show 70 such works. It's currently closed because of the partial government shutdown, but when it reopens, you'll be able to see Edward Hopper, at age 21, looking moody in a charcoal turtleneck. Diego Rivera does not disguise his double chin. Jim Dine has no chin, eyes, or mouth. He's headless. He just etches his bathrobe. NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg has more.
Why are there so many self-portraits?
Artists will tell you they're available.
Kim Sayed is director of the Portrait Gallery.
In the middle of the night, when the urge strikes, you've got yourself.
Or they can't afford a model, or they're vain, or, curator Brandon Fortune's theory, they're working out technical problems.
But they're also done as a kind of self-reflection to present a persona to the world that may not be true or authentic, but is the character that the artist wants to be remembered as.
Alice Neal's self-portrait, begun when she was 75, is as authentic, as vital, as she was on NPR at age 79.
I am known primarily for my obsession with humanoids. That's true.
Painting herself, seated in a comfy blue and white striped chair, Neal was ruthless and brave.
She's entirely nude. Her breasts are sagging.
Her belly bulges, her lips turned down. There's a brush in her right hand, a bright white rag in the left.
She said at one point that this portrait was really hard to make. She said it was so hard that my cheeks got red with the effort.
No wonder. Alice Neal is taking on the entire history of nude paintings, mostly starting in the 16th century, made by men. Historically, the male gaze was loving, lustful, idealistic.
And she just flips it. She takes control of the gaze. It's her gaze. She takes control of the way that her body is going to be presented.
An act of truth and audacity. So different from the way painter Thomas Hart Benton showed himself in 1924. He was on Martha's Vineyard, crazy about his new wife Rita and the movies.
Thomas Hart Benton's portrait makes him look out to be some Hollywood dashing superstar.
Swashbuckling, black mustache, muscled and hunky.
Stripped to the waist.
Hunky.
It is definitely an assertion of vigor, wouldn't you say?
Indeed, and sexy.
Mm-hmm, very much so.
The photograph Walker Evans took of himself in 1934 is neither vigorous nor preening. He was working for the Farm Security Administration, hired to document the Depression's effect on Americans.
He's, at the end of a day, photographing misery and seeing how people are forced to live during this terrible time in our history.
Walker Evans' eyes hold pain. His face is full of compassion. He has seen awful things and making sure we see them too. There's no way not to see Chuck Close's self-portrait. He has taken 16 big Polaroid glossies, each one measuring 20 by 24 inches, and linked them mosaic-like into a huge color image, about 9 by 7 feet huge.
We're seeing Close's face, bearded, wearing his round glasses, looking straight out at us.
The work is especially gripping now, as Chuck Close's National Gallery exhibit was recently canceled after accusations of sexual harassment, for which he apologized. His self-portrait was done following a personal tragedy. The artist was left paralyzed after a spinal artery collapse in 1988.
He made this Polaroid the following year, and he's looking for ways to make art that can be done by someone who is a quadriplegic.
But he's also, it's so rich with meaning or a way to interpret it. It's saying, I'm going to surmount this. I'm larger than what's happened to me. I'm still here.
I think you're absolutely right.
They're all still here in this National Portrait Gallery show on view until mid-August. Messages to the future in oil, lithograph, pencil, charcoal, video. How artists saw themselves, how they wanted us to see them. In Washington, I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News.